Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Fun, entertaining, knowledgeable.
All right.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Right.
Live and local, it's time for the Fan Morning Show with Bart Winkler.
.5 FM, 1250 AM, the radio.com app. You can stream us live and anywhere throughout this vast country of ours, from the mountains to the prairies to the oceans white with foam. You can get the radio.com app. Again, I'm Bart Winkler. We will be joined in a moment by Kevin Payne, rotowire.com. If you missed any of the stream yesterday that the Brewers had, if you missed any of the stream, they're going to do it again today. So the Brewers are having more situational scrimmages here in the next couple of weeks, and they're going to do another one. Same bat time, same bat channel, 1-3. It'll be on their Facebook page, facebook.com/Brewers, and also Brewers.com. So just situational scrimmages that they are holding. Basically, they're playing five innings of a game. Josh Hader was not there yesterday. He did talk to the media. He was golfing. We will hear from Josh Hader coming up in just a little bit. This hour, a commercial-free hour here on the Fan. We'll also take a look back at the Bucks. They got a big win over the Washington Wizards earlier in the season. A big night for Chris Middleton. That will be our Bucks recap today, and more on the Disney bubble. So plenty to get to here before we hand things over to Bill and the Bill Michaels Show, with Dave Wannstedt joining the program today. That coming up later this morning. Kevin Payne joins us, rotowire.com, Great Midwest Bank Hotline, our fantasy guy throughout the football season and whenever it is depended upon. It's halftime of the soccer game, so I thought now would be a good time to talk to you. Kevin, how are you?
Yeah, I'm doing good. Not a very entertaining soccer game thus far, but at 9 o'clock in the morning on a Thursday, or 10 o'clock, or I should say for you guys, or 8 o'clock, whatever.
You were right. It's 9 here. You're right.
Okay, yeah. So it's better than nothing to have some MLS. At least something's on at this time of day, and then the Premier League will shoot back up at 1 o'clock.
See, before we get into the baseball stuff, which is what I want to talk to you about, the soccer, you know, I'm doing a little DraftKings today, and it's not on FanDuel yet, MLS. I did tweet at their support account that I would like to see it added, but it's not on there yet. But, you know, I watched them last night, and I got a love-hate with this league. I want it to succeed, but I also want a lot of changes. They're trying to do this bubble thing in the exact same place where the NBA is, and they had a team leave because of coronavirus cases. They've got another team in Nashville they're probably going to kick out. At some point, you wonder if they should just stop this tournament, but they're going to forge ahead, which is kind of the way of the MLS, Kevin, a fellow soccer guy. I think you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I have kind of a love-hate relationship with the MLS, too. If you take a look at it, what kind of annoys me is it kind of hinders some of our younger players from going and playing overseas, which is where I think if we want the men's national team to really flourish, those guys need to be. If you took the men's national team and took the United States players playing in Europe and pitted them against guys playing in the MLS or still here in the States, they would absolutely annihilate them. That's how good the players are developing over in Europe as opposed to the MLS. And you've got a player like Jordan Morris who plays for Seattle who had overseas offers but kind of chose the easy way to stay at home and be a star in the MLS rather than what I would consider go over to Europe and reach his potential. So, but then again, there's also the fact that the MLS is here and it's kind of a training ground that some of these teams over in Europe come and pluck players from, and then they go on and have successful careers. So there's that side of the coin as well. So, as you said, at least something's on. We're watching some sort of professional sports. We'll see how long this lasts. I mean, it's worth noting that the Orlando Pride, the women's team, I mean, the bunch of girls went out to a bar and they had to drop out of their tournament. So, all it's going to take is one little thing to throw a monkey wrench into all of this. So hopefully we won't see that happen.
So it's Major League Soccer. They're trying to, you know, get a little more exposure. And the they're like, we got to get on these markets on TV and radio throughout the country. They get discussed on a sports station in Milwaukee. And the catchphrase is Major League Soccer, at least something's on. So congrats to Don Garber and everybody there at MLS for finally succeeding in their 25th year of existence. You know, these last couple of months, I feel like I've kind of become a better sports fan. You know, you got your big sports and you got the stuff that you like. And now I've watched more UFC than I've ever watched before. I've watched more NASCAR, which I struggle in the NASCAR dailies, but I do well in Xfinity and trucks for whatever reason. But I'm playing like sim contests. I've been doing anything I can to still try to play fantasy even when nothing is going on. What have these last 4 months been like for you?
You know, I could not get myself into esports. I don't understand it enough.
Like League of Legends and kind of stuff? I can't do any of that.
Yeah, the LOL stuff, which every time I look at it, I'm like, is that laugh out loud? Or no, it's the League of Legends stuff. So I could not bring myself to do that. And I'm the type of guy that I've got a good friend in the industry, and we've conceded the fact that if we were sitting in a room, we would bet each other on the amount of time it would take paint to dry if it was up on the wall. But I could not bring myself to do that. I've been doing a lot with the different soccer stuff, though, ever since the leagues came back. As you said, on DraftKings, you can do a little bit more than you can do on FanDuel. They've got La Liga. So, you know, like yesterday, there was a 4 o'clock game that you could have played with Macy. And then today you've got MLS, which they'll do. They still haven't gotten to the quite up to speed with the women's stuff. So you can't do that on either site. But there is more things to do on DraftKings. So I have been doing that. And probably the silver lining, as you mentioned, is that you're starting to take a look and branch out into sports. There's probably no way on earth that things have been quote-unquote normal the last 4 months you would have taken a look at. You probably would not have gotten into NASCAR or taken a look at some of these other daily fantasy sports contests. And to their credit, these sites have really been creative as far as the contests they've been coming up with. They've been running a bunch of free rolls just to keep people coming back and checking to the site. Now we're seeing things start to pick up a little bit. Hopefully we'll get some sort of baseball and football season in. Hockey's going to try as well. Basketball's there. So we might go ahead and get some of these fantasy sports in by the end of the year. Oh, and rotowire.com/win to sign up for a free 10-day trial. Let me get that in there.
Definitely.
But I think, as I said, the silver lining is you're checking out some different sports that you probably wouldn't have before. Golf being another big one, as you mentioned, that people are watching a lot more golf than NASCAR. So, you know, it's just something else kind of broadening your horizons over these last few months.
Yeah, and I think that's good. You know, UFC, I haven't been a UFC guy, but I've been watching that and enjoying that. Boxing, I can't get into, like, they're not even that different, but UFC, I like boxing. I've always hated horse racing. I was the biggest fan of the Belmont Stakes in the world, even though I had, like, a dollar on it. So I don't know. It's nice to branch out that way, but still, it's the main sports that, you know, keep us coming back and keep everybody coming back to the station, and you know, you got the Brewers starting up again, some inter-squad scrimmages before they hopefully get things started. Fantasy baseball, I've been wrestling with this question because I would say I'm in four leagues that are going strong. We did draft one of them before things shut down. It was like the week before, and I was very worried about this happening, not to the extent that it had, but that things would be shut down for a while. So I was strategic in my draft. I didn't take any pitchers until later because I didn't think they'd be used a lot. And I thought, I'm going to take all these guys. So I still kind of want that league that has drafted to continue. But the league, either guys want to bail out or redraft. I almost think now if you did, like if you drafted Freddie Freeman, how do you know that he's going to get COVID-19? So would you recommend leagues that drafted already, if they did, to redraft, or what would your play be there on season leagues like that?
If it's going to be like I'm in a keeper league through RotoWire that we've done for years and everybody's been part of it for probably over a decade. I joined maybe 8 years ago. And we've faced this question ourselves, and I think we're just going to forge ahead and play the season out because it's a keeper league. Now, if it's a one-and-done league, if it's a redraft league, whatever you want to call it, I would probably seriously consider redrafting just based upon the information that we have. And how I would do it would be this. I would go ahead and do a slow draft, 4 to 6 hours per pick. You've got 2 weeks before the season starts, so start it as soon as possible. But I would also set a date, probably the Monday or Tuesday before the game start, where everybody can sit down and you can finish up the draft in an hour or two if you're not at that point yet, so that people aren't still picking come the day the game start. I think there's enough information out there that you can go ahead and redraft and really open up those rosters. Have a huge bench, play with daily transactions so that you can put players in and out each and every day. One of the things that we've been looking at RotoWire is, a lot of guys have wives who are pregnant who are going to give birth, the biggest of all being Michael Trout. Now, if Mike Trout is there in the recovery room with his wife and their newborn baby, and she looks at him and says, I don't want you to go back, what do you think Mike Trout, who is set for life, is going to do? Do you think he's going to go back? So, therefore, that's why I think you should have huge rosters with big bench spots that you could put people in and out on a daily basis. If somebody, as you said, with Freddie Freeman, you look at some of these guys, Rudy Gobert, Von Miller, some of these guys caught coronavirus months ago and are still feeling the effects of it. So you may, Freddie Freeman, may be 70-80% all season long, even when he comes back and gets those two negative tests. So knowing all that information, I think that you can go ahead and still redraft and start up a league. Just don't do it for a lot of money. As one philosopher once said, more money, more problems. If it's, just for a minimal amount of cash, just enough to have some skin in the game, do that. But that's how I would recommend going about it. I would go ahead and probably redraft in most leagues just based on all the new information that we've gotten.
I didn't even think this way until you were just talking there, and I certainly didn't think I'd talk to you about this, but just in terms of like, oh, Freddie Freeman, he's still suffering, and Rudy Gobert, like, maybe it does seem weird to play fantasy this year with everything that's going on, but it's hard not to. I love
it
fantasy.
It does a little, but also realize that I am is my employment, so therefore I must go ahead and promote it as long as I am employed by doing this. No, but again, I think it's a great distraction for people with everything that's going on. If nothing else, it keeps, for the most part, it should keep people at home and hopefully draw in some new interest from people who may not have been, huge avid baseball fans, may actually go ahead and start enjoying the sport because there's not much else to watch right now on television.
So with the pitching strategy that I had, and again, Kevin Payne joining us, rotowire.com/win. For a free 10-day trial, with the strategy that I had, I stayed away from pitchers. If we do redraft in baseball, I really do think a lot of these pitchers, like if you're the Yankees and you have Gerrit Cole, you're not just going to pitch him every 5 days, are you? Are you going to, in a 60-game season, you're only going to see him 12 times? Do you think these guys, like maybe Gerrit Cole goes 3 innings on a Monday and then 3 more innings on a Thursday? How do you think major league managers employ their pitching staffs this year?
I think it's going to be a case-by-case basis. Like, I was taking a look at a team like the Braves, and they're set up perfect. One of the new things that they had this season is there's no limit on pitchers, so they can carry a ton of pitchers on their rosters. And the rosters start out bigger, and as time goes on, there's certain dates where they have to cut the rosters down. But that's what I think we're going to see. I think we're going to see, and there might be the rare case where you do have a stud pitcher who can go 5 or 6 innings and try to get that win. The one thing I would tell people to consider and take this to a league-wide vote to see what everybody else wants to do is maybe replacing the wins category with something else, because that's not going to be as predictable as it has in past seasons. And if you think about it, getting those starters helps you earn those wins. those wins may be going to the relievers now. So maybe you want to go ahead and put in a category like innings pitched to help go ahead and encourage people to take starters who are going to get three innings as opposed to maybe one inning for a reliever. So that was something that I would consider. But I think it's a club-by-club basis that the Braves are set up pretty well. They've literally, I have on the roster, 7 or 8 legit starters. So they can go with a guy pitching 3 innings and then another guy pitching 3 innings and then turning it over to the bullpen. The one thing I do hope with all this is that the games don't get to be 4 or 5 hours long night in and night out because we're going to so many pitching changes. Obviously, the reliever change, that each reliever that comes in has to face 3 batters, should help that, although if it's the end of the inning, then they don't. But I'm just hoping that the games don't get drawn out too much by so many pitcher changes. But look at a club-by-club basis. Don't be surprised because it is a shortened season. Some teams do push their studs to pitch 5 or 6 innings, even if that doesn't happen until, quote-unquote, the middle of the season, which would be basically next month. But, yeah, just got to look at it by a team-by-team basis.
I've got 2 dates that normally this time of the year I know when they're going to be and how it's going to go down, my fantasy football draft. And then with that league, most of us go on a Packer road trip, and I don't think we're doing that. And we haven't even talked about the date of the draft. What do you think happens with the NFL, college football, if these things get played on time or not?
Yeah, college football is looking really tough. They had some 37 people tested positive in North Carolina yesterday. We also saw the Ivy Leagues cancel all sports till January 1st. So I think for college football, as much as they want to get it in and get the games going, I don't think that's going to happen. I think best case scenario is that we see with the NFL, they play games, but probably without fans. Even yesterday, the Ravens came out and said that if they go ahead and have games, it's going to be a 14,000 capacity stadium. That's it. So I don't, you know, I'm kind of pessimistic overall as far as things getting in this season. I hope they do happen, as I said. They're a great distraction, and we need them. If the NFL takes certain precautions, I think, and maybe taking a look at some of how some of these other organizations and leagues are trying to do things and learning from their mistakes, they might be able to get it in. But I think it's going to be without crowds at best, and we might even see a shortened season. So I've drafted in a bunch of leagues. I've done magazines, and I've done my hometown keeper league. So we're acting like it's going to go ahead and happen. But I think right now you just got to be prepared for the worst.
Kevin, we appreciate your time. The second half of this riveting game between New York City FC and the Union, it's 0-0 into half two. It has started, so I will let you go. Kevin, always appreciate it, and we will talk soon.
Okay, sounds good. As always, thanks for having me on, Bart.
Casey Payne, P-A-Y-N-E 26 on Twitter. Casey Payne, P-A-Y-N-E 26 on Twitter. And you can also check out the free trial, rotowire.com/win. It is a 10-day free trial there. Some breaking golf news. How about that? Breaking golf news. Tiger Woods will play next week at the Memorial. So if you want any Tiger Woods futures or anything like that, Tiger Woods is going to play in the Memorial next week. Bart Winkler here on The Fan. One of the things that we've been doing is recapping the Bucks season. Let's go back to late January. No Giannis in this one, but a big night for Chris Middleton.
Giannis, how about that? What an unbelievable play.
The countdown to the Bucks' return back to the championship.
As we inch closer to the return of the NBA season, we're taking you through how the Bucks got to the 53-12 record they'll go into the bubble with. Bucks 40-6 after their trip to Paris. They come back to take on the Washington Wizards. Now, no Giannis in this game. So, if the question is, and we're not talking about the competition, but if the question is, Ram, can Chris Middleton score when Giannis isn't on the court? Again, not about the competition. If that's just the question, on this night, he did.
Plenty of time on the shot clock, just now under 10. Middleton, yes. Chris Middleton has a career high, 44.
Man, it's awesome to see Middleton play like this with Giannis out in a shootout like this. Middleton has been here from the start of the game till now. He's got to close this out.
Season high for the Bucks, up
flush. 51 for Middleton.
Chris Middleton being roughed up by his teammates. A career high 51, a season high for any Bucks player. Topping Giannis by one.
Washington will get one
51
shot.
Points, Chris Middleton, 16 of 26, 7 of 10, and 12 of 12 at the line, 10 rebounds, 6 assists.
He got in a rhythm pretty early and just, you know, looked like every shot he was taking was, I think he was 9 for 10 at the half, and, you know, it was just coming off his hand well. He had a good pop, good bounce, you know, and I think everybody's feeding him, playing off of him, celebrating him. Such a good player, such a good teammate, and it's great to see him have a night like this and everybody enjoy it.
Continuing to take you through the Bucks season, tomorrow we'll take a look, unfortunately, at a loss. Bucks follow up this big win against the Wizards back in January with the loss to the Nuggets. We'll have that look back tomorrow. But yeah, this was a big night for Chris Middleton. Bucks improved to 41-6. Middleton, again, his stat line, 12 of 12 from the stripe, 7 of 10 from distance. 16 of 26 overall from the field, so 51 points for Middleton, 34 points for Bledsoe that game too. And I do remember talking about this game after, saying, okay, this is good, because when Giannis is out, he didn't play this game, when Giannis is out, you've got other guys that can score. And then, as I said hello to our friend Ram there, the caveat is, well, it's not against a good team. And, you know, it wasn't against a good team, but I don't know. I look at the box score, I see 51 points for Middleton. I think that's a good thing, right? Is it not?
Correct. Sorry, I was talking to these guys in the background.
Oh, I thought you wanted to, like, speak. I didn't.
No, I was tuning in.
Oh. I thought you wanted to chat. Well, what's up? How you doing back there? You sucked at trivia.
Yeah, we were just actually talking about that.
Yeah. Did Evan tell you he cheated?
Did you? No, he's not listening.
He was tipped off.
I was like, with Middleton though, I just feel like if he played in the league 10 years earlier, I feel like people would really appreciate him more just because of his mid-range game and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, when they tried to change the whole offense, the whole offense of the Bucks, if you look at any of the heat maps, it's completely different. It's in the paint and then around the three-point arc, but then Middleton's is still like normal because he is so good at mid-range shots, even though it's deemed as a low percentage shot. That's what he's good at. I always, you know, the Middleton thing, I think it started when he signed his first big contract. He signed the contract for $40 million over 4 years. And it was right before the season where, like, Luol Deng had a big contract and Timothy Mozgov had a big contract. You remember all that? And so it was right before that, and it looked like, oh, $10 million. You don't pay a guy $10 million. But then the contracts went up, and Middleton was one of the best bargains in the league. Now, again, if you started with everybody in a blank canvas and you plucked guys out, would you end up paying $39 million to Chris Middleton? No, but in the way that the Bucks are shaped and the way that things went down, you absolutely would. I called him out in the Bucks recap, so it's only fitting we do hear from Ram. If we're going to talk Middleton, we're limiting it to 45 seconds. How about this? We'll limit it to
45 seconds, Bart.
We'll limit it to the 51 seconds for the 51 points he had in that game against the Wizards.
I got a question to ask you, Bart.
Yeah, if you want to talk about Middleton, I'm going to limit the time. But if you want to talk as boys, we can do that all day.
Talk about the Bucks?
Oh, to talk about anything.
I know you like Middleton. You probably got a Middleton jersey.
You know, actually, I have a Giannis jersey. My parents bought me one for my 36th birthday. It is the first basketball jersey I ever have. Mm-hmm. They have never bought me a basketball jersey until I turned 36.
Wow.
Yeah, and it actually doesn't fit because I did not have a good quarantine.
I understand.
Let's COVID-19.
Say. Can I have it?
Maybe.
COVID-19.
Actually, you know what? I don't like basketball jerseys. Never mind.
Yeah, I don't need, my arms are
right.
Very small. What's up?
I'll say this. I want to see him produce in the playoffs like he did in that Wizard game, and then I will get off of him. I want to see him produce against top teams when we really need him, then I get off. And I even told people in my own – I got people in a chat group that beat me up because of that, Bart. And I say, okay, But that's all I want. That's what I want to see. When you play like a superstar, you're supposed to play like one, not no up and down. That's my whole thing. So you got to compliment the other player that you're with. So, but other than that, just, like I said, I think this is going to be a very interesting bubble concept that's going to go on, and I think we're going to see some surprises. I think we're definitely going to.
When are we going to go hoop?
You haven't said it. You haven't said it a date and a time. Yeah, we can figure it out. Hit me on Twitter. Yeah, we get some shots up. We gotta have Ryan though. I want Ryan to come out there.
Oh, for sure. I don't go anywhere without him. Yeah.
And we gotta get Leroy out there too, because Leroy's doing a lot of talking.
To you?
Man, he says he's the shooter. That's what he keeps saying.
All right. So how about? Gosh, what would be the 2-on-2 there? Me and you against Leroy and Horvat?
Yeah, we could do that. Yeah.
I suck though.
No, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. I think I can carry. I can carry you better than Chris Middleton could.
I'm not sure what that means, but
I'm gonna have my Curry jersey on. Since your brother works for the Warriors, I have my Warrior jersey on to make proof of that.
All right, I'll wear my Warriors sweatshirt with my Warriors sweatpants with my Warriors Finals hat.
We're good. We're good then.
With my NBA Finals game-worn James McAdoo long-sleeve top.
Man, that sounds good to me. All you got to do is just be able to get a couple rebounds and just spot up at the three-point line. I'll make sure I get the ball to you.
Ooh, I don't know if I can physically get it from the three-point line to the basketball hoop.
Mid-range, then.
All right, I'll be mid-range.
Yep, we're just going to play up to 11.
Who would win in a game, me and you versus Middleton?
Me and you versus Middleton?
Yeah, 2-on-1. Handicap match.
We winning.
Come on.
We're winning.
Bye, Ram.
We're winning.
Bye, Ram. Ram.
I called that he was going to that he was the one that was calling in.
Well, I shouted him out. And
yeah. It was only a matter of time. At least we spiced it up a little bit.
Yeah. We got Ram to say that him and me would beat Middleton in a basketball game. You can't beat this at Window Select. I want to remind you about the incredible offers they have. Buy one, get one on Windows at Window Select. That is buy one, get one on Windows at Window Select. You know, people have been trying to, cut the coupons and you look for deals. And the buy one, get one deal is hard to come by. And when you find it, it's on like a can of peanuts or something. Buy one, get one on Windows. You can't beat that. Windows Select's got it for you as you continue to improve and make upgrades to your home. And maybe you're somebody that not been doing that this summer. This is a good enough of a reason as any to do it. They've got the no payments deal until 2021, so you don't have to pay anything until then. They'll come out to your house. They'll do the assessment. They'll do the estimate for you. No charge for that. And then when they do come on back and install everything, it's buy one, get one on Windows. They're the ones that know the product, so they install it. And no payments till 2021. Some incredible deals right now, and this is at Window Select. WindowSelect.com. Give them a call, 262-703-3500. 262-703-3500. Check out WindowSelect.com. Again, WindowSelect.com. 262-703-3500. They have also a double lifetime warranty. Have you ever seen one of these before? A double lifetime warranty. So they're so proud of their products. It's one of the best warranties in the entire industry. These windows, high quality and energy efficient, and they will this summer help you see your home in a new light. Check them out again. Window Select, 262-703-3500, 262-703-3500. We'll talk more Bucks. We'll hear from John Horst. We'll also hear from Brewers reliever Josh Hader, who did talk to the media yesterday, but was a little busy doing something else. That all coming up next, 105.7 FM, The Fan. Not the smoothest in history, but I think it still counts. That's what's important. Bart Winkler, Sam Schmitz, Evan Heffelfinger's here. There is a goal in the NYC FC Philadelphia Union game. There is soccer on live today, as there will be for the next couple of weeks with this MLS tournament. I do not have the guy, or do I? I did a dollar DraftKings in the MLS, and I'm winning $1.50. I must have had the guy that had the assist. No, I have the guy that scored. Oh, yeah, baby. Bedoya scored. You guys all know him. Chris is on the north side, 799-1250. What's up, Chris?
Hey, Bart, man, thanks for taking my call. Before I get into my comment, I just want to thank you, man, for keep bringing us some regular and some north.
You are breaking up during a compliment, which is the worst thing that could ever happen. Where are you? What's going on? Chris? Help? Put him on hold and see what's going on there. All right, this is a fun segment that I like to do. It's called Stealing Something from Our Sister Station. I saw my boy Radar the other day over at WMYX 99.1 The Mix. A little bit of everything, just like Milwaukee, right? He did an Instagram post of him mowing the lawn without a shirt on. And so I wanted to steal that and ask you guys, Sam, Evan, you guys, what is acceptable for guys to do without a shirt on? Out, like in public.
Okay.
So mowing the lawn's a big one.
Yeah, just any yard work in general.
Any yard work without a shirt. Painting a house without a shirt.
Sure.
What are acceptable things to do for guys in public without a shirt on?
Go to the beach.
Go to the beach? Now, I don't think any of us. Are you a shirt off guy, Sam?
Yeah, if I'm at the beach.
Yeah, I know Evan's not.
I'll go down there. I'll go down there with like an old basketball jersey on, and then, you know, once I hit the beach, I'll take it off.
Yeah. Okay, listen to that. You're not a shirt off guy, E.
How do you know?
Take it off.
I'll do it right now.
And neither am I. So yard work.
Yeah.
Painting. Beach.
Pretty much like any form of exercising or like labor.
Yeah, if you're like walking or running, something like that, I think it'd be okay.
What if me and Ram play Chris Middleton 2-on-1? Can I take my shirt off?
Well, yeah, somebody's gotta be absolutely. Shirts and skins. So.
Right. Shirts and skins.
Because you guys won't be able to tell who's on what team at that point.
Because you guys all look like Chris Middleton.
Disc golf?
I've never played disc golf, so
it's fun.
Can't comment. I know, I just can't throw a frisbee, so I wouldn't know.
What about real golf?
No, I was thinking about that. If you're going to like a nicer place, you absolutely cannot. But if you're going to like some little par 3, maybe.
Yeah, why can't you take your shirt off?
If it's just me and the guys, I'll probably do it.
How about, swimming, beach party, pool. What about a ball game?
No.
If you're sitting on the third base side of Miller Park, would you take your shirt off?
Bleacher creatures?
I mean, if the sun is shining directly on me like it likes to do at Miller Park, it's possible. If I have painted my stomach as well, it's also possible.
Okay. So, or you probably shave a letter into your chest.
I could do that, yeah.
I was getting mad at people. Like, the first time I take my shirt off, they're like, Mo, you are pasty white. Oh, yeah.
What do you expect?
You're a redhead.
When do I take my shirt off in life? Not even that. I don't. Shirt on.
You see the farmer's tan that I have.
Oh, yeah.
From working outside.
Too. Right. Yes. I got a bad one from softball.
Yeah. So just wondering, again, a little segment we call Stealing Topics from Our Sister Station. Still 1-0, by the way, for those scoring at home in the Union NYCFC game. There looked to be a goal, but it was offsides. And then that one could have been a shot, but the MLS has brutal talent, so the guy skied it over the...
Did he hit the scoreboard?
Yeah, I think so.
Why was there a guy on the Jumbotron?
Because what the MLS is doing is they have no fans there, of course. They're playing in Orlando, so they have people that can like zoom in and show themselves watching the game. There's a screen on one goal, and then there's another screen in the middle. So you'll be able to... Like you, a big diehard Columbus Crew fan, Evan.
Oh, of course.
Saturday night when they play FC Cincinnati, you'll be able to maybe get in touch with your local fan army and be on TV.
It looks like they're not even aware that they're on.
Yeah, it does look like that. Oh, by the way, one story we're following, I believe I will have a cutout of me at Miller Park. I think that is going
really?
To, yeah.
Nice.
I paid for it.
Are you going with the Sports Illustrated picture?
No, I had a shirt off.
The body issue
conveniently
version?
Conveniently enough. I went with my normal game attire, which is a Brewers jacket from the 80s, and then my Brewers hat that has the ball and glove with the Milwaukee flag imprinted into
the best.
So my normal attire. So hopefully I'll be sitting up with Bob Uecker, at least the cardboard cutout and more personable version of me in section 422. Speaking of guys that are just full of energy, John Horst talking to the media yesterday. They are departing for Orlando, and there's a lot that they have to cover when doing this.
I'm really proud of our players and the coaching staff, the medical group, performance group, for the efforts that they put in throughout this time and really challenging situations to stay focused, stay prepared, and really be diligent and compliant with everything that's come at them to hopefully continue on what's been a historically great season for us again this year, being 53-12 when games stopped. Giannis, the MVP of our league, continuing to play like that and leading candidate for Defensive Player of the Year. Some of the stats that we can get into later are remarkable. The things that he's done, Eric and Brooke, their impact on our league-leading defense again this year. George Hill leading the league in three-point percentage, and I think clearly the sixth man of the year. In a great support group with Dante and Pat and George and Marvin and Sterling and Ersan and Robin. I'm sure I'm forgetting a couple guys. We just have such a deep bench, such a deep group that I think is going to really help us out this year. And then, of course, the work that Coach Bud has continued to do, he and his staff, the system that we have, our style of play, the leadership that he brings, his just gut feel and experience in running a team and leading these guys and understanding when to push and when to not push has been incredible. So we're excited. I think we're aware. We care about and thoughtful about the things that are going on in our world, in our society. But we're also excited to have basketball and to have competition and to perform and to give the public and the fans something else, another outlet and something to enjoy and be part of.
And hopefully it all goes smoothly. Teams are arriving in Orlando this week. The Bucks are arriving in Orlando today. They did have to shut down their practice facility, however, on Sunday, as you guys are aware of, because of a positive case of COVID-19. Now, the Bucks have not still said who has tested positive. We don't know if it's a player or not. And I understand, you know, the medical records, and maybe guys don't want it to be known. I think in every case in baseball that we know of, including the two Brewers, they've agreed and consented that, yeah, you can say it. Council's talked about the toughness in that, because if you don't say it, but then the guys aren't there for 2 weeks, I mean, we're going to assume it anyway. It's just a lot of this is new and a lot of this is different and a lot of this is weird. But for the Bucks right now, they have chosen not to let us know who it is. So we still don't know if it's a player. We don't know if it's a coach. We don't know who it is. Not that we need to know, but if it's a player, I think it definitely has a big impact. And then also whoever has it, we you know, wish them the best. John Horst, though, they are not going to reveal that information.
First of all, the league has given guidance that we're not allowed to disclose any of that information publicly. And I would say even beyond the league's guidance, that's just a company kind of policy. We're not going to disclose private personal information relative to testing or anything else that we do with our people. So no, but it is obviously part of our travel party. That's why we made the decision to kind of halt operation here immediately, just because we want to, you know, do the best we can and help the league as best possible to get a healthy group into there. But that's really as much as we're going to share.
More from John Horst regarding who maybe it didn't affect, the positive taste that shut down the Bucks practice facility.
Know if it relates a lot to shutting down a few days of kind of 1-on-0 training operation. Like, I think that in some ways had run its course anyways, right? Like, the league did a great job of getting us back on track and allowing people to come in and start getting treatment and training and some basketball activity. And so I don't know that it relates to that, but it is incredibly important, I would say. So the quicker that we get to the 5-on-5, you get exposure to contact. You just get, there's a different rhythm, right? When you're playing with your teammates, you're playing against other people. I think the quicker that you get to that rhythm, the better that you can kind of ramp up toward that and acclimate. And Bud's incredible with this, right? He has an amazing feel. He's not going to overdo it early. He's not going to underdo it. He has an amazing feel, and I think that will ultimately help us using those scrimmages, the 5-on-5 time, and even the seeding games, right? I think those are all opportunities for us to really hopefully catch a rhythm, stay healthy, get exposures to contact, really kind of feel some things out. And I know our guys are really looking forward to that opportunity.
105.7 FM, The Fan. Again, I'm Bart Winkler. Sam Schmitz with us. Ryan Horvath will be back next week. Tim Allen, and tomorrow we'll hear a lot from the Brewers, including Craig Counsell and David Stearns. We'll hear a little bit from Josh Hader before the end of the show, and then Bill Michaels today. Dave Wanstead joining the program around 11:35. Now, so the coronavirus, when it comes to the NBA, that is the story, right? That's the big story. But somehow this week, it's actually not. The big story with the NBA and Disney is the food that the athletes and staff are being served. You may have seen some pictures on Instagram or Twitter or Facebook. The meals look like airline food or takeout that kind of sat out for 3 days. It doesn't look fantastic. It is a problem, and the NBA has said this, all hands on deck when trying to make sure the food isn't as embarrassing when it hits social media. And this is a concern for the Milwaukee Bucks. They've been very vocal to their GM, hopefully that they can get this food problem fixed.
Concerned with what I saw, but I can tell you, you know, we have a task force call every single day with GMs. We've had league calls at least twice a week for the last 3 months. And food has been maybe the biggest topic of conversation with those groups. And so we care at a high, high level about nutrition and food for our players. And yes, I saw the pictures. On our call this morning, some of the comments of the people who were there said it's not nearly as bad as the pictures make it out to be. Can it be improved? Of course, it can be improved. But the league is so focused on this topic, and they've already made incredible steps to make sure that it's offered at the highest level. And there's things that, you know, aren't fully represented through Twitter or Instagram just by pictures. But I can tell you, the players are going to have enough options, either through, you know, private chef services, restaurant services, offerings from Disney. They're going to have healthy, nutritious, tasty options available. And I think it'll always be a topic. Everyone has an opinion on food, but I think the league has done an amazing job. And we were worried about it 3 months ago. I'm not worried about it now.
Bucks general manager John Horst, he'll be part of that 35-man committee, or men and women. Each team gets 35 people that can be in the bubble. Horst said that picking those 35 people was one of his toughest decisions and toughest task he's had to do since being a general manager. Now, when you do get into the bubble, again, the Bucks are going to go into this Disney bubble today, and that's going to be their life for as long as they're in the playoffs. Maybe if things get better, they let the finals happen in their home markets. I don't foresee that, but it does look like if the Bucks are going to win the NBA Finals, they are going to be at Disney for 3 to 4 months where they are going to live. It's going to be pretty wild. So the team has to try to do everything they can to get the players acclimated to live in this new environment.
The logistics of this entire thing are quite incredible, really. You know, we've sent multiple truckloads through our partners with Coakley Brothers that arrived, I believe, yesterday. Our trucks got unloaded. We have warehouse space on the campus. We have set up weight rooms in the hotel. We have, you know, specifically set up rooms for sleeping arrangements and dining arrangements and different things for certain guys and their needs. So the logistics that you're required to kind of manage and execute as a result of being in one location for hopefully it will end up being 3+ months has been quite an experience and quite a task. And Scott Faust and Trevor Paulson, who's our equipment manager, and Troy Flanagan, who's our performance director, they've done an incredible job. Tony Boilier, who works with me on operations, they've nailed it. And like anything that we do, we try to do it the best that we can, better than anyone else, try to be incredibly efficient in cost and in execution. And I think we've done that at a high level so far. And we'll see when we get there. We'll see what works, what doesn't work, and we'll have the ability to adjust on the fly as well.
You know, you think about like when players – when else would they experience this? Maybe the Olympics, but you're gone for 2.5 weeks tops. That's more of like a vacation. They are living there. This is They are living there. They're going to be in Disney longer than I've lived in some apartments. They're going to be there, assuming they even get to the Eastern Conference Finals, a very, very long time. And the challenge for Horst and the staff is to try to make Orlando seem as much like Milwaukee in terms of their access and what they can do as much as possible.
I don't know if there's, you know, 21 other teams are doing this or not, but some of the detail that we've put into it, and I'm happy to share it now because I don't know if anyone else can replicate it if they don't have it, but you know, we have photos everywhere. Many of you have been in our facility. We have really intentional, specific photos of our guys and different actions and different things. We have different sayings, different niceties that they're used to. All the things that matter to our players in an operation, we've tried to replicate and take with us and put there. So the photos and things that are here and the things that they're used to seeing and being around that are in the SSC are going to be in our weight room and in our hotel spaces at Disney at the Grand Destino. So just that's one example. But yeah, a lot of those things that we have here that really creates the environment we've tried to take with us and do the best we could there.
It's going to be very interesting to get a look, an inside look. I'm sure Bucks.com will provide as much as they can. And some of these other guys, when they get there, you know, Giannis has been doing a ton of Instagram lives this summer. I'm sure he'll pop on there once or twice, whether it's with the Adetokumbros or whoever. But it will be very very interesting to see what life is like there. Again, 3+ months they could be down in Orlando at Disney to try to win themselves an NBA championship. They do want to remind you about this. I want to remind you, oh, do I want to remind you about our perk of the day, getmyperks.com. Go to getmyperks.com. Really great deal. $20 for discounted golf at 8 Milwaukee area courses. It is the green card. And when you get this green card, you get 2 rounds of golf for the price of 1, 3 times at many Milwaukee area courses. It is a $700 value if you use it. It's just $20 for that green card to get the buy one, get one deals on golf. Places such as New Berlin Hills and Songbird Hills and Kettle Moraine and the Broadlands and much, much more. Check that out at getmyperks.com. Now, I'm not quite sure if Josh Hader, Brewers reliever, was at one of those courses, but it does sound like he was at a golf course yesterday. How could that be? The Brewers had a scrimmage yesterday. Shouldn't Josh Hader be there? Shouldn't he be at least in the team facility? As you hear when he was asked about working with Corey Knebel again, it certainly doesn't sound like he's at the team facility.
Oh, it's going to be huge, you know, just having him back in our rotation and bullpen. And he's been a key player for us, you know, 2018. He was one of the, you know, guys that we counted on. And, you know, just adding that to the pitching staff that we have, it's going to be definitely a fun season.
Josh, are you golfing?
Yeah, how'd you know?
How are you playing?
Started off well. Short game started to fall apart.
Did we interrupt a key putt or anything and make you shank it or anything?
No, I wish I could use that as an excuse, but I have no excuses.
So, Josh Hader, we'll hear more from him tomorrow. We'll hear from Craig Counsell. We'll hear from David Stearns. Again, Tim Allen will be in, host of our baseball postgame show, of which there should be 60. We'll see. Sam Schmitz will be in tomorrow as well, and then after the weekend, you know, there's a few different things that I'm looking forward to. The golf tournament this weekend. Nobody cares, but my FanDuel is doing very well to start the day. I use the You Better You Bet, guys. I've been doing golf FanDuel last couple of weeks. I win money off You Better You Bet. It's on the Radio.com app.
Yeah, I see what you and Ryan are doing, and I'm like kind of intrigued.
Well, he's winning money.
No, I know, yeah.
Horvat is winning money. He had, who won last week? Bryson. He had Bryson.
DeChambeau, yeah.
He won a bunch of money on Webb Simpson a couple of weeks ago. I am playing dollar entries and trying to sound like I'm some high roller. Horvat is spending money on this.
Well, where else are you going to come up with the money for the cameo challenge?
Oh, of course. That is true. I have to pay you guys for that every Tuesday, which will return next week. But yeah, I you know, I'm interested in the UFC fight. I don't think I'm going to buy it. It's too, I can't justify. I can't say, honey, I'm going to buy a $60 UFC fight to watch 4 fights to see if I win $350 on my dollar entry.
No, they post the highlights like less than an hour afterwards anyways.
Oh, yeah. And some people on Twitter, you can get it right away. And if you have an illegal stream, I'm not suggesting that you send me it via DM, but I am saying that I am looking for one and my DMs are open at Winks Thing. So if you want to make that connection, you may do so. I'm not advocating anybody do anything illegal. I'll be watching a lot of soccer over the weekend. WWE's got a pay-per-view on Sunday night. And then, checking in with the Brewers have up to. Again, if you want to watch the scrimmage today and if you missed it, they did a situational scrimmage yesterday. They are doing another one today. Brewers.com on their Facebook feed as well. They are broadcasting that live so that you can watch it. Yesterday, there was no audio. I would assume that would be the same today. But you can at least get a glimpse inside Miller Park and see some baseball. Five innings of situational scrimmaging, and they're going to do that again today. That'll do it for the Bart Winkler Show. Thank you to Sam Schmitz and Evan Heffelfinger and Paul Immig for our trivia. And in that trivia, thank you to Rob Reichel and Kevin Holden and Adam McKelvey. Tim Allen in tomorrow, 9:30 tomorrow. Tony Gwynn Jr. will stop by, the former Brewer, now with Radio.com. That and much more. Union 1, NYC FC 0. Still 5 minutes to go in this one. We'll be tuned in. I'm Bart Winkler. Bill Michaels up next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.